Welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. The Nashville Predators back in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena. So after what feels like they've been off forever, they're back at it tonight at Bridgestone Arena. We'll have David Poile coming up later on the show at 8:30. So lots to get to on the program here today. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Doing all right. Yeah, they have a big game and then they have another break, which is kind of annoying, but this is an important game.
No question about it. Big one tonight for the Predators at Bridgestone Arena, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. Michelle Knezovic, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, guys. I set a new record driving to MTSU last night. Hit the 2 hours.
Good gracious.
Oh, the 2 hours just one way?
Yes.
Accident?
I'm not really sure.
It really amazes me, as somebody who's lived here my entire life, how that drive from the Nashville area to Murfreesboro at a certain time of day has continued to just become nearly impossible.
Like,
it's not worse. It's not that far, you know? Like, when you really think about it, it's not that far away, and yet every day I'm either watching the news or I hear from Michelle. It just takes forever.
Yeah, that's the way I go home, so, but I don't have to go.
I'm driving. It's like, okay, ETA get there at 4, class at 4:30. I'm like, perfect, this is great. ETA 405, 418, yep. 430. I'm like, oh gosh, like, 427. I'm emailing the kids on my phone as I'm in traffic. Please don't leave, guys. Please don't leave. We have to present. 5 o'clock, guys. I got there.
There you go.
I'm like, oh, great impression.
Did they stay?
Yes, they did. Shout out the whole class who stayed.
Nice job.
I probably would have left.
Shout out to the people at MTSU. Way to go. True blue. That's what we do.
There you go. That's right.
We stick around. The Super Bowl, I guess, media night was last night. Not much has come of it that I've seen, even on the A.J. Brown front. I will say, apparently Nick Sirianni still has a chip on his shoulder from not being retained on Andy Reid's staff over a decade ago in Kansas City. So there's that.
Really?
Yes.
What'd he say?
He was talking about how, I guess they brought up, he was the wide receivers coach at the time. Who was was Todd Haley the head coach, I think, in Kansas City? I think that's who it was.
Yeah, that's, in fact, and that was Vrabel's last head coach. Yeah. Well, I never heard Vrabel talking about as a mentor of any sort or whatever.
That's a good point. Yeah. But he talked about, he's appreciative of how Reed handled the situation, acknowledged that not being retained as a part of Reed's staff was a motivating force for him. Says, do you always have this little chip on your shoulder? Sure, yeah, you do. That's who I am as a coach and person. I want to make sure I'm working my butt off to get as good as I possibly can. And sure, you hold on to some of those things. So they were talking about that on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning, about how, like, I guess this is like the revenge game for Nick Sirianni for not being retained.
Yes.
That's the wide receivers coach a decade and a half ago.
So to be clear, that was basically, like, he never coached under Andy.
No.
Yeah, he just came in, yeah. Wow, this receivers coach, I really feel like I got to keep him around. I mean, I know they do keep some coaches. This just put me down the Todd Haley rabbit hole, by the way. He's the head coach and GM of the Memphis Showboats.
Hey, there you go.
And Jeff Fisher got out of the USFL,
he did,
right?
Yeah.
So, wonder why.
I have no idea.
Interesting.
They went 2-8 last year, so.
Todd Haley's only 55 years old?
Is that right?
That also shocks me. There's so many nuggets of information right now that are interesting.
I'll be honest with you, I had totally forgotten about Todd Haley until about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
When I heard Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max talking about that.
So Sirianni's got a chip on his shoulder. I know that somebody asked him, like, who he wouldn't want his daughter to date, and he said, she's 5.
Yeah.
Or who on the team would you not want your daughter to date? She's 5.
All of them?
Yeah, she's 5 years old. Thanks for the weird, bizarre question. But that,
gotta love media.
There's always people, I mean, Media Day, half the people there are like, they don't cover sports and they're just,
they don't know
somehow
what football
get
is.
In and they just want to do something that'll get someone all riled up or, stuff like that. But Jared said on his show yesterday that he was going to ask A.J. Brown all these questions about the Titans.
Maybe he did. I just haven't seen it. And maybe he's saving it for his show later. We'll see.
Okay.
I don't know.
Would Jared not even tweet out a little bit of a teaser if he got something good?
He did tweet out a picture.
Okay.
Of AJ,
so
at the
he was
podium.
There.
Yes.
Okay.
He was like right front. AJ was at the podium.
I think it was Michael Irvin with him.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
AJ with Michael Irvin.
Yeah, at the podium. Like, Michael Irvin was next to him.
Oh, okay. So he was also just asking him questions.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I think.
All right, so Jared never know with was Michael there. Irvin. So we may get some good. So that's
didn't know what he was doing.
Well, right. Who knows? Yeah. Okay, so there may be some.
We'll see.
But if there was anything like, if there was anything great, someone else may have tweeted that out, right?
You would think.
I'm gonna look on Twitter.
I know that Jim Wyatt caught up with Brett Kern, so I figured he would do that.
Okay.
He's ready to punt the heck out of the ball.
Chase, Michelle and Chase just caught up with Brett Kern.
That's true.
So there you go.
That is true. So we'll see what happens with Stillman out at the Super Bowl and whether or not he had any things to say to A.J. Brown yesterday. Looking forward to that coming up later today. 615-737-1025. Speaking of Stillman, one thing he discussed yesterday and that I also came across yesterday that I found a bit intriguing as well, friend of the show, Mike Sando, as he often does, came out with his pick six column at The Athletic, and it always talks about a variety of different issues going on. They got into the Lamar Jackson situation, you know, Derek Carr, where is he going to end up going next? Even some news about, speculation about Tom Brady. We'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes. But also talked about Aaron Rodgers and the quarterback situation in Green Bay. Most people get the feeling that the Packers are going to trade him and that this is going to happen at some point this offseason. And, of course, you know, everybody's talking about the Jets and how the Raiders have cropped up because Davante Adams is there and they didn't get Tom Brady, and it just makes a lot of sense from that perspective. But one thing that was brought up in this piece by Mike Sando, and, you know, Sando talks to executives around the league, and one executive told him, quote, Tennessee is a great spot for him. Had another executive say, I could totally see that, end quote. And the first executive that was talking about the Titans said, quote, I just don't know that he's going to want to be in New York. Mike Vrabel and Tennessee seem more his pace. Whether Vrabel wants to put up with his bleep, who knows? But Matt LaFleur was the offensive coordinator with Vrabel, so Vrabel could pick his brain. Hey. Robert Saleh and LaFleur are close. Those teams all have ties. Now, I had a similar reaction as you did when I read the Vrabel-Matt LaFleur connection. I don't know how much brain picking is going to be going on there, but at least some executives around the league thinking that Rodgers to the Titans could make some sense. Now, what does this all mean at the end of the day? Not much. This is just an executive talking. But they did bring up the Tennessee Titans when it comes to Aaron Rodgers.
Well, okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure, like, again, I've kind of not been as big on the whole, like, Vrabel couldn't deal with it or whatever. I think Vrabel will be fine if he has a player good enough to do his job at a high enough level. And, Vrabel understands like what an Aaron Rodgers at quarterback could do for you, so I don't think that's that big of a deal. But it's also, you know, I mean, it's like, I don't know. He was hurt this year. He didn't play that great for a lot of the year. But then again, at the end, when the receivers started to show some life, I mean, I think he's still got some very good football left in him. It still seems far-fetched to me. I mean, and that's the thing with some of these things. Some of this is just someone in Denver or whatever just saying, hey, how about this idea? It's just like we do, yeah. You know? So I don't know. You know, it's interesting. I hadn't even really thought about the LaFleur-Saleh thing. Like, when LaFleur was here, like, did this big story, you know, because I was up in Michigan. His parents were up there. And, like, Saleh is his best friend. Best friend.
Yep.
Like, absolutely going back to being grads at, like, you know, I think Central Michigan with Brian Kelly. So, I mean, that is interesting in terms of this possible trade. What does that really mean? Something, but at least there's real brain picking. Vrabel and LaFleur brain picking? I don't know. I don't know. They're like arch enemies or anything like that.
Feeling.
It's a one-year thing that I don't think was all that warm when it was over.
Yeah, I don't get the feeling that they're like trading text messages every week with each other. I don't know. I don't get that feeling.
Yeah, but then again, I mean, even if it's just like a cordial relationship, then, you know, I don't know. That's such a weird situation for LaFleur, too, you know. Is that like, it's like you're about to lose your franchise quarterback, right?
Yep.
So do you even get into that thing where people, when you want to tell people, you know, stuff about your quarterback?
You just figure it out. I had to figure it out.
Be too. Like, hey, you know what? I'm not the GM. Don't talk to me, you know. But
I got to go get Jordan Love ready to play quarterback. Just go figure it out.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. I got to worry about Jordan Love being my quarterback. what would be the terms of that kind of deal?
That's the question. And, again, I think a lot of this is going to come down to where does he want to go. And, you know, I stand by it. I think the Raiders make a lot of sense. I just do. I think that offense, he obviously has a great relationship with Devontae Adams. Like, I just think at the end of the day, that makes a lot of sense. So if I had to put a leader in the clubhouse, I know everybody's talking Jets, and I think that they're going to make a big push. And maybe that's where he ends up going. But if it was just up to him, I think the Raiders would be where he would go. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, for your own performance and enjoyment, that's easily the pick. Now, if you're trying to chase a ring, so you could, if you're the Titans, you could make the, okay, let's compare the Raiders defense to our defense. You know?
Yeah.
Don't you want to have a defense?
Or the divisions they're in.
That too.
There's that too. There's the divisions you're in, you know, so. But yeah, I mean, to be able to go back and throw to Devontae Adams, I mean, my gosh, and Waller.
Yep. My favorite part of the Sando piece on the Rodgers front is apparently he talked to a veteran coach, and they were, you know, the whole first part of the pick six column is about Rodgers and the speculation of where he could go.
Mm-hmm.
And some veteran coach in there, of course, this is unnamed. You get good answers, and he goes, who are these guys? I'd love to be the hypothetical owner in Green Bay listening to the GM and president present the trade case to me so I could reply, okay, so in summary, you want me to trade an MVP-caliber player who still creates 2 to 3 wins per season so we can attempt to solidify our evaluation of our third-year drafted quarterback while he's throwing to sub-average weaponry? Sounds like we are patterning ourselves after our rivals. Which one? Chicago? End quote. This is from veteran coach.
Nice.
Always good to get every perspective in there.
Good quote, veteran coach.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a fair point. It's like, let's be bad. That's the thing. So it's all about, to the point there, I mean, it's all about draft capital.
Yes.
What is Aaron Rodgers going for?
That's a great question. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on that. The Aaron Rodgers news continuing to circulate, speculation continuing to circulate. And there's a couple other things in this piece by Sando, including a Tom Brady take and one take regarding Rodgers and a certain other quarterback that is out there and available that, if true, I think could be grounds for firing all by itself. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, discussing a piece from Mike Sando in his Pick 6 column, has an NFL executive talking about maybe the Titans would be a good landing spot for Aaron Rodgers should he become available. And lots of speculation on the Aaron Rodgers front. By the way, I got a text on the text line that says, since Favre went from Green Bay to New York, would that influence Rodgers at all? He seems kind of petty. I think that would be a good way to describe him. I think some people just totally dismiss that. I do not totally dismiss it. I don't think it's the ultimate decision maker, but I do think that he will at least think about that.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, that one is, like, I disagree with Kaharski on the Hall of Fame thing. I absolutely believe that one.
He doesn't want to have that.
That's a huge day in your career. You don't want to be second fiddle to Brady on that day. But I don't know. I mean, obviously people are going to make the comparison and stuff like that, but, I mean, that was so long ago. I don't know. If that's a thing for him, if that's something that actually would sway him, then, man, he's got issues. He may have issues.
Well, I'm here to tell you. Yeah. I think that may be something that might actually sway
him.
Well, we do. This is true. We do.
Yeah. So there's a couple of other pieces in this, or other parts of this Sando piece that are interesting to me. And one of them is the Brady thing. And part of his pick six is, all right, is Tom Brady really retired? And it says, prediction, Tom Brady will play again if the right situation presents itself. So it's kind of a qualified statement there from Sando in the pick six. But it's just kind of talking about, and I think this came out yesterday before Brady spoke on Colin Cowherd, that he was going to begin his broadcasting career in 2024. So it sounds like Brady's not going to be in the booth this year. He's going to take the year off, and then in 2024, he's going to be back in the booth, which, of course, when he said that, led to a whole lot of speculation of, 2024, leaving your options open for 2023. So
sure.
I guess we'll see what happens on that front. But, you know, Sando throwing it out there, okay, well, if like San Francisco, if they get through the offseason and Brock Purdy's not ready to go and Trey Lance, they don't have any confidence in him, you know, could that be a route that they go there? I think a lot of people believe that if Miami had actually been interested in Brady, that he'd still be playing. Like if it was Miami and they were moving on from Tua and they wanted Brady, obviously that's where his kids are. They think he'd still be playing. So I don't think that's going to happen now at this point, barring a change from what we see. But that's kind of the speculation that's out there.
Too bad he's too cowardly to go in there and just beat out Tua for the job, man. Just get into a competition.
Sign
on, man.
You could be
his dad. Come on. No, yeah, that's an interesting point. I could buy that. And yeah, it is interesting. It's also the point made here. We've talked about Jason Witten and his announcing issues, and he went back and played.
He did.
Yeah, it's leaving that year open. I mean, I believe Tom Brady. Like, I just don't buy that he's doing what he did there, which is exactly the right way to do it without being sure. But hey, you knew this was going to happen, and we're going to. I mean, I think we could still be talking about this. You know, then he'll be an announcer for a couple of years and he'll suck, and then he'll, like, you know, stop doing that, and then he'll be 50 and we'll be like, who's signing Brady?
Is Brady coming back?
Still in good shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's at least Sando, like he said, it's like he will play again if the right situation presents itself. That's quite the qualifier. Not surprised he tried. I feel good right now. I'd put some money down that he will never play another down in the NFL.
So there was.
But it's fun to do. It's fun to talk
about. It is fun to talk about. Going back to the Rodgers thing, there was, you know, we talked about an executive talking about the Titans. There was another executive that Sando talked to and kind of explored the Vegas option as to what that would mean. And there was a quote that an executive made that he thinks this way about Josh McDaniels. And I'm just here to say, if Josh McDaniels truly thinks this way, if I'm Mark Davis, I'm firing him now. And the quote is, Vegas would be fine for him, talking about Rodgers. It just seems like a weird fit, Rodgers' personality and Josh McDaniels. I think Josh would rather develop his own guy than have Rodgers, which that part of it's fine. And then the second part of it is this, and I think he'd rather have Garoppolo than Rodgers. If that is true, and Josh McDaniels would rather have Jimmy Garoppolo than Aaron Rodgers, if I'm Mark Davis, I'm firing him immediately.
Yeah, that's quite a take. Yeah, his own guy, fine. You know, if you feel like you have the – you know, you've got the backing and you're going to be able to, like, you know, you don't have some urgency, then okay. If you can get someone high in the draft or whatever, you can find, you know, the quarterback of the future on a quarterback deal, on a rookie deal, okay, fine. Yeah, why would you ever pick Garoppolo over Rodgers? I mean, Garoppolo, all the stuff that the Niners coaches talked about with him, I mean, to me, that's as egregious as anything I've heard about Rodgers. I mean, yeah. Rodgers says dumb crap. But, right?
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, that to me is why Kyle Shanahan, when people ask him, he's like, nah, he's gone.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why they want him out of there. So why?
We have no idea who our quarterback's going to be next year, but it's not going to be him. He's
right.
gone.
So you have that as a glimpse into how he deals with people, and then you have that he's okay.
Yeah. I mean, that just, it doesn't make any sense. Now, look, Jimmy G very, very well may end up going there. I think he's going to be a starting quarterback somewhere next year. But if it's because it came down to, hey, you can have Aaron Rodgers or you can have Jimmy Garoppolo, and they're like, yeah, we'll just take Jimmy Garoppolo. It's fine.
Yeah, but I think this is also, again, it's like, okay, so who is this from where, this is based on what? This
right.
is based on just, yeah, I think he probably, I mean, you know, Josh McDaniels may read this and say, are you freaking kidding me? Who said this crap? I hope so.
Josh McDaniels is probably still in mourning that Brady retired. He's like, Tom, are you sure? Tom?
Yeah.
Because that was our plan, and now we don't have one. Derek Carr's out, as we learned over the weekend at the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
I think it's pretty clear that is the case. I got a text that says, you have to pick one for a broadcast crew, Witten, Booger, or Greg Olson. I mean, I'm going Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen's by far better than those other two.
Although I will say the I do miss the Booger Mobile on Monday Night Football when he was moving around in that big monstrosity they created for him. That was pretty awesome.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah, I mean, sorry, but you know, VFL Witten would be a clear third there. And again, it's just you can't put a rookie announcer on Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
so bad, such a bad idea. No, Olsen's really good. So I guess Olsen gets one more year of being. Is that what's going on?
I guess so.
You know, being on that crew, and then he'll take a back seat, and then everybody will be like, wow, we want Greg Olsen back, please.
You're really down on Brady as a commentator.
He's gonna be a rookie announcer. How many of them are good?
He said he wants to take this year to study and learn how to be great at his next job.
Hey, I you know what? I'm going to keep an open mind about it. I will. But, again, Drew Brees, great guy, great personality, always great interview. He was always a good interview
as
a player. And then he gets in there, and it's like, I like the football, too. And it's like, what?
Wait, I think he'd be better in studio, Brady.
I could see that.
In-game action, I feel like there's so few athletes who are able to just, you know, make it into, I don't want to say dumb people terms, but the way they look at the game, and then to just be able to, reiterate that, it's very hard. I want Gronk and Brady in studio for Fox. Kick Sean Payton out there.
That would be awesome. Well, the big
Gronk is tough.
He's
man.
Bad. I know.
Ooh, he's a tough.
He just needs some time. Shaq sucked at first too.
Put Gronk on the love boat somewhere.
Well, the big question I always have for, especially high profile athletes, but athletes that have recently retired and they go into broadcasting, you still know a lot of people that are playing, and I get all that, and you don't want to, fracture your personal relationships. I understand that, but also part of doing the job. If you're going to take over that job, is to be critical when they make mistakes. And I just, is Brady going to do that? I don't know.
That's a good point. Yeah. No, it usually is when you get a little older and you're separated from this is now the younger generation, right? Like Aikman now, and who I think has always been fine. Aikman, is, I'd say, pretty good at, levying criticism at times.
Yep.
Romo struggles with that.
He does.
Yeah. And apparently struggles with a lot of stuff.
Apparently intervention was needed with Tony Romo. Aaron from White House says, bold to assume that Davis would have the sense to fire Josh McDaniels. Maybe so. I thought it was going to happen at one point this year, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I can't get into Mark Davis's head, nor do I want to look at it.
No. Gunner on the text line says, Robbie, you're a Packers fan. As a Packer fan, do you want them to move on from Rodgers? I mean, the real answer is I don't know. No, I think that's still their best chance to win a Super Bowl, but I also think that in order to bring him back, they're going to have to try to re-sign a bunch of old guys that he likes, and I've seen how that's gone. It's not just going to all of a sudden get better when they get older. To answer your question, I would not be necessarily heartbroken if it happens.
Yeah, I think you've embraced the possibility.
I have embraced the possibility. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, the quarterback movement in the NFL. Coming up next, we'll get into a different piece at The Athletic that has highlighted a certain wide receiver in the AFC that could be available and could be out there for the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into that coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yes, because FanDuel has a perfect way for everyone to get in on Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat same-game parlay. What this means, everyone gets bonus bets back if your Super Bowl same-game parlay does not hit. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or if you have an account already, you can do this. Same-game parlays let you combine all your favorite bets for a chance at a bigger payday. So you can build your own, or you can also bet a popular same-game parlay that's made for you in America's number one sportsbook. All right, I'm ready to pick the Eagles. That'd be part of my parlay, okay? I'm here on Tuesday. I'm going to go with the Eagles. Again, I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts over on the rush yards, and I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes over on the passing yards in this game. That'd be mine, but you do whatever you want to do. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with Joe102, promo code Joe102 when you download the app. Either way, you're going to get bonus bets back. If you're no sweat, same game probably doesn't hit. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL, and you must be 21 or older, present in Tennessee, 3-plus legs. Minimum dollar bet required. Refund issued with non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus $5 less otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook@fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 800-889-9789.
Later today, tune in for Stillman & Company live from Radio Row, brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. Stillman & Company out live in Arizona at Super Bowl 57. So looking forward to that coming up later today. Right now, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jaden. Jaden, thanks for calling in.
Morning, guys. How are we?
We're good, man.
Good.
Good. So I'm going to hop back to your last segment for a second. I am not for the Romo hate. I love the Jim Nantz, Tony Romo crew. But I figured I'd say that since y'all talked about that. But I know y'all are about to get into quarterback talk, and I'm just going to give you my take on, I guess, the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. I don't think the Titans pursue Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a Raider based on from what I've seen on Twitter and different reports. Definitely think he might go to the Raiders. And I think for the Titans, with their quarterback situation coming up this year, I think they stick with Tannehill. And in the draft, I think they go tackle maybe a receiver early. But that's my take, and I hope you all have a good one.
Hey, thanks, Jaden. Appreciate it. I mean, I think that's probably at least the sticking with Tannehill part of it is the most likely scenario there. Now, he brings up receiver, and that's an interesting spot that the Titans are in. Because we've talked a lot about the wide receiver position. How do you upgrade that this offseason? We've talked about the free agent options that we currently know about that are available, and it's not great in the free agent market. There was an interesting piece yesterday that came out at The Athletic from Daniel Popper, who is a friend of the show, covers the L.A. Chargers. And basically, he talked about how last year the ownership for the Chargers made a huge financial commitment. They went for it. You know, you went and go and got Khalil Mack and get a $27 million cap hit last year. You know, J.C. Jackson, all these guys that they've went and gone. You've got Joey Bosa in there too. And it goes through where they're at from a cap standpoint right now. Right now, entering the offseason, the Chargers are $20 million over the cap. They're $20.38 million over the cap. And if you add in what they have to space and make available for their draft picks, they're $23 million over the cap. So, obviously, they're going to have to make some moves and make some adjustments. And Popper put it out there on The Athletic about that brings you to – here's the a little snippet from the piece. That brings us to Keenan Allen. Allen signed a four-year extension in September of 2020. He has 2 years remaining on that deal, which runs through 2024. The financial structure of Allen's contract makes him a candidate to be cut, and this has very little to do with how good he is as a player. Allen, who turns 31 in April and missed 7 games with a hamstring in 2022, can still be highly productive when healthy. He showed that down the stretch last season, catching 60 balls for 675 yards in his final 8 games. He remains one of the league's best route runners. He remains one of the most effective third down weapons in the league. But there are unavoidable realities of operating within a league mandated salary cap. For better or worse, teams are forced to move on from good players yearly because of salary cap constraints, end quote.
Oh, wow. What kind of lies are we telling here?
The cap is real.
Jeez, no kidding. What a revolutionary thought there.
But Popper floating it out there that, you know, there's some decisions that the Chargers are going to have to make this offseason, and that maybe one of those is cutting Keenan Allen at that point. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, there would be a very, interesting possibility. Certainly, we talked about T. Higgins. I mean, Keenan Allen is still a very good player. Now, okay, so this is where I'm like, okay, how old is Keenan Allen? He's 30 now.
Yep.
So
he'll be 31 next year.
You know, and has had some injuries and things like that. So, I mean, so you're talking about, you know, big number. Let's see, what did he play? He played 10 games last year?
Yep.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, how many good years does he have left? How much good football does he have left? You know, I mean, I feel like if Keenan Allen gives you a full season, which the last time he did, which is 21, he has 106 catches, 1138.
Yep.
You know, he's never been a huge, I mean, he's a big possession receiver, high volume catch guy. He's had what? 400, basically 500 yard plus catch seasons. I mean, granted it was 97 in 2018, but you know, 11.7 per catch average, but he's a guy who, man, catches the ball, gets open, makes plays. I would be, it's just one of those things you look at him and it's like, I remember thinking, like, Julio Jones got, he's certainly got a couple good years left, right? And he really hasn't had injury issues at all, but he just had it the last year. And then we saw what happened. I feel like with the Titans' luck, this is the beginning of, like, issues for Keenan Allen, which is part of why it's even being discussed, right?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because he's exactly who I thought about yesterday was Julio Jones when I was reading this. Now,
and he's never been
full,
that good.
Full stop. Yeah, like, yeah. Keenan Allen is not Julio Jones, has never been Julio Jones, so I want to make that clear. But it is interesting. Now, I guess when I originally think of Keenan Allen, I'm like, yeah, but he's hurt all the time, isn't he? And you look at his numbers and his availability. I mean, he was hurt in 2015. He was hurt in 2016. I mean, he only played one game in 2016. Since then, he's been pretty durable. Like, he's been
before last year.
Yeah, before last year. I mean, 16, and he played all 16 games in 2017. You know, he's played in pretty much every game since then. 2020 was only at 13 games, but last year he played in 10. So you're talking about a 30-year-old wide receiver that played in only 10 games last year that had hamstring injuries. Where have you heard stuff like that before?
Sounds kind of familiar.
Yeah, it does kind of sound familiar. So I know, like, the idea of having Keenan Allen, I think, sounds good if you're a Titans fan, especially considering what else is out there and available right now.
Exactly.
I mean, he would be – if he were to be cut and were to become a free agent, as the market stands right now, I think he'd be far and away the best wide receiver available on the market. I don't think there's any question about it.
No question.
But he is 30, and he will be 31, and he had hamstring injuries last year. So do you want to even enter that discussion if you're the Tennessee Titans if this happens?
Yeah, and that just shows you the state of the market. I mean, we've talked about T. Higgins, and, of course, we're talking trade there. And that, to me, would be far preferable to a Keenan Allen, you know. And obviously, Keenan Allen, I'm trying to think of, like, Keenan Allen fitting into, like, this offense. If he's healthy, he would make a huge difference. I think if it were to play out, I mean, you'd have to make inquiries. But, man, it just goes to show you the state of the veteran receiver situation, you know, that he'd go right to the top of the heap.
Well, and, you know, maybe the Chargers can find a way to keep him. They're gonna move on from somebody. And, you know, Popper also brought up Gerald Everett in this article, too, at tight end. You know, they're going to have to move some pieces around. But, like I said, if you're the Titans and you're realistically thinking of ways to upgrade your receiving group, say you're bringing back Tannehill, you got to find him some weapons somewhere. So if you're bringing back Tannehill and you're thinking of ways to reasonably upgrade your wide receiver room, like, the list isn't long. It's, you know, Keenan Allen, if he becomes a free agent, maybe you take a look at that. I have no idea what's going to happen with the T. Higgins situation. Like, I think honestly the Bengals would be nuts to do that right now. Like, I still think that's part of what makes them great is having all of those guys together. So if I'm the Bengals, I'm signing up for one more year of that, and then you're probably going to have to make some decisions after that. But maybe they get offers that they can't refuse. And they've just got to go ahead and do it. Like, if you're the Titans, do you put your way into that? But there's not many great options out there to really drastically change your receiving core. Maybe DeAndre Hopkins. We'll see what happens with him. But the options are, as we sit here today and that we know about, are few and far between if you really want to upgrade your wide receiving core.
Yeah. And it's like, so to me, it's like a prominent draft pick has to be part of it, you know. And that has to work out. It has to be a good choice, and it has to be a choice of someone who immediately works out. The two second-year guys have to both be healthy and be impactful next year. And, I mean, hey, man, like, that's the thing. It's like, if the cap really doesn't matter, keep Robert Woods around.
Yep.
Maybe he'll be good next year. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, if the cap doesn't matter, then Keenan Allen's not going anywhere.
Right.
Staying where he is.
Right. But I can't wait to hear the explanation of, they just didn't like him, or the owner just didn't want to pay him. Yeah. Nah, it's not that you actually have to make the cap number or anything.
Lance on the text line says no on Keenan Allen, and then says T. Higgins with a fire emoji. So Lance wants some T. Higgins. I get it.
It's just they're
harder to get.
Yeah, exactly. It's when you have to make a trade. I'm with you on the Bengals. It's like, you change the equation when he leaves, as great as some of those other guys are. But, yeah, that's the thing. If you're the Bengals, too, like, you're obviously right now you are in the, like, you just went to the Super Bowl. You just almost went to the Super Bowl. So I don't think you're worrying about getting picks for a great player right now.
Probably not. Alex from Montreal says, Vrabel said the Titans are trying to get faster, not older. This is from Alex from Montreal on the Keenan Allen discussion.
Yeah. He can run when he is on the field.
Well, and, you know, I totally understand the idea of getting faster. They got to do it. They've got to find a way to do it. But, I mean, are you turning down good players just for the simple idea to get faster? I don't know.
They have to get younger too, but yeah, but when it comes down to it, first of all, Keenan Allen does have speed.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not like you're bringing on like a mid 30s slow guy here, but plenty of concern though, just with and especially just the weird, it just feels like, and I know this is like, it's like the Titans fan is like, we never get receivers or whatever. It does feel like they just get, the bad timing was too many of these players like this.
Well, I can tell you, if Keenan Allen, first off, there's a whole lot of things that have to happen. But if Keenan Allen eventually gets cut by the Chargers and the Titans were to pick him up, I mean, do you know how many Julio Jones, Andre Johnson, Randy Moss calls we're going to get the next day? Which, yeah. I get it. I understand it. I do.
I'm trying to remember, because the difference is, okay, Andre Johnson, like, it was pretty obvious. It was like, maybe he can help some. I don't think there was that much excitement about him.
No.
Randy Moss, was there?
There was excitement because it was Randy Moss, yes. But yeah. That quickly
But there
evaporated.
Was massive excitement about Julio because it was a very different situation. Keenan Allen would be more like that. I mean, again, it's only been 1 year where he had issues being on the field, and he's been very productive. And, well, this is like Julio. The thing about Julio is even in that last half season, he's still, his numbers, like his per catch and everything, were all on par with what he had been doing. Right. Same thing with Keenan Allen. This is actually his highest yards per catch in 4 years.
Right. And the other part of this is he won't have Justin Herbert throwing him the ball if he comes here.
That's true.
So there's that part of it too. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans wide receiver corps. What would be your plan to address the wide receiver position this offseason? More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. Looking forward to that conversation with her. We'll get into the Titans and look ahead to the Super Bowl matchup as well. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Discussing a piece on The Athletic from Daniel Popper, who covers the Chargers, saying they got some decisions to make this offseason, and that maybe Keenan Allen becomes a cap casualty and becomes available out there for the Titans and for everyone else in the NFL. 615-737-1025. I got a texter that says, if the Titans trade for Higgins and sign Allen, you have no more worries come draft time about wide receiver.
All set.
That is true.
You're all good.
You would then have Burks, Allen, and T. Higgins. You'd be pretty good.
Aaron Rodgers throwing to those guys. Feeling good about this squad. Still don't know who was playing up front, but
who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
They'll get open. Liam says, sure, another guy for our wide receiver graveyard. There could be a nice ESPN commercial about the Titans building an old folks home for receivers. Get a few wheelchairs, show them listening to old-timey radio, blankets on their laps, feeding ducks in the park, etc. This is from Liam on the text line.
Wow. I sense some sarcasm.
As long as they're listening to our show.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. Jared from Spring Hill says, definitely don't want the Titans to draft the wide receiver in the first round. I don't think there are that many elite receivers in this draft. Whoever they draft in the first round, I just want that dude on the field week one. Kind of like when we drafted Corey Davis. He didn't have any big game showings, just potential and specs. And we passed on Mike Williams, who balled out at Clemson and played in national championships. We need pedigree. This is from Jared from Spring Hill on the text line.
Yeah, but I mean, you can find examples of all those different things where it's like you had all the pedigree and it didn't work out, or this one, you know, the small college, or it wasn't small college, it was the MAC. I mean, actually, Corey Davis, I believe, had a very big game against Wisconsin in the Cotton Bowl, if I remember correctly. So it's not like, and I know he had torched Michigan State. They had played them, and he was great. And so, I mean, look, I remember in that draft, I thought the Titans were going to get the receiver with the whatever it was, 19, because that's when I thought the receivers were going to go. And then there was a run on receivers, and it just worked out that way. But certainly that was overdrafting, you know. And Corey Davis is one of those guys who, I mean, you know, like at the combine, I remember it was like, oh, this guy's amazing, you know. Of course, I mean, like his interviews knocked him out of the park, and he's a good player, but. When you draft someone there, that has to be a star player. And there was always the question of, is he that guy? And, of course, he wasn't and isn't.
Ken from Waverly.
But you'd still probably take him on your team right now.
I would say so. Ken from Waverly on the text line says, the Chargers recognize the decline that's about to take place with Keenan Allen, just like Atlanta did with Julio. They dumped them while they could still get anything for him. D-Hop is up next. They're on their way to being mediocre at best. The Titans do not need mediocre wide receivers anymore. Go get Higgins or draft a stud. This from Ken from Waverly on the text line.
It's that simple. That's the thing. I mean, all these possible answers are like, you just don't know if it's going to work out. See, here's the thing. Like, so Keenan Allen will be, if this works out, he is a cap casualty because if it was as easy as you just don't have to worry about it, then sure, you'd keep him. But I do agree that it would signify that they're seeing a little bit of a decline. They're worried about the health, the soft tissue injuries. Okay, now that's starting to happen. He's in his 30s. So that gives you pause if you're the Chargers, and it helps you with the cap situation.
Right.
Which still makes him a cap casualty. But, yes, also, it's not – I mean, if they were absolutely convinced that he's going to be great next year and he's essential to what they want to do, they can find a way to make it work, you know?
Right.
But you have to make choices somewhere and – If he is a choice of theirs to move on from, yeah, I mean, I think there is a buyer beware there, but you also might get something that works out differently than the Julio situation.
Well,
you might.
I want to make myself clear. Like, I'm not saying that if Keenan Allen becomes available that the Titans should absolutely do this. I understand the concerns. I understand that you start to get a wide receiver on the other side of 30, that there are concerns there. And he'll be 31 next year. He has had some injury issues. He's coming off a hamstring last year. Like, there's a lot that would give me pause if you're the Titans on this front. But kind of the larger point is, I think you and I would also both agree that if he were made available, as things stand right now, he'd be by far the most attractive option at wide receiver on the free agent market. So that kind of lends itself to the larger discussion of, everyone agrees the Titans have to upgrade at wide receiver. They have to do it if they're going to be better. I mean, they have to. But I think it's going to be really hard to do. I think it's going to be a really difficult thing for them to accomplish this offseason. You know, maybe it is a trade. Maybe they do get themselves in a T. Higgins discussion. I'm not convinced T. Higgins is going to be traded this offseason.
No, that's far from a sure thing. It's one little inkling that it's been discussed.
Yeah. And as far as the drafting is concerned, I mean, look, they may find at number 11 overall, whether it's Quentin Johnston or somebody else, you know, Smith and Jigba, whoever it is, maybe they find a wide receiver that they love. But we had this exact same conversation about Treylon Burks last year, right? Like, how many wide receivers come into the league and immediately are just absolute studs? It happens, but it doesn't happen often.
It used to never happen. It still isn't. It's more the exception than the norm still.
So we're talking about upgrading the wide receiver core. Everybody agrees that they need to do it. It's going to be really difficult to do this offseason, I think.
Right. I mean, the upgrade has to be people you already have. Like, it has to be a big part of it. It you know, those two guys in particular. And he's, you know, Westbrook Ikhine, you know what he is. You need, if you're going to re-sign him, because he is a free agent, by the way, then he needs to be a depth guy. I'm going to stick with my Racy McMath. You know, you gotta have some breaks. Now, if you're Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, do you want to lean on? Do you want to rely on that? Probably not, but it's not a great – I mean, I feel like the draft has to be has to be a big part of the answer, and it might mean that you have to think first round pick with the. But again, who do you love? Quentin Johnson. I know TD was tweeting about the kid whose name eludes me from last week at the Senior Bowl, who is in terms of speed, without question. I think it's the guy. Is it Rashi Rice?
Yeah.
Who, you know, you could maybe get a little bit later, but that's in terms of speed. You know, and Hyatt, both those guys, it's route, like you said, press coverage, things like that. The scheme gives you some pause, but certainly you have the speed with them, and yet they do need that.
They do. Now, you also, and I think we know this and we've seen it firsthand, you got to be able to do more than just run fast if you're a wide receiver. Like, we've seen the Titans either draft or bring in guys with speed. Like, Khalif Raymond had speed. You know, Taywan Taylor had speed. You got to be able to do more than that.
Yeah.
At the NFL level.
Absolutely. I mean, and Raymond is, you know, I mean, Raymond was a find of an undrafted find. And that's, I mean, Taylor definitely
was. But Taylor was a third round pick, wasn't he?
Yeah. No, prominent pick to try to do that. And what's that? Oh, there you go. Yeah. Now, they've got the Titans' history of receiver choices is pretty amazing. And then, of course, they did find a great one.
They did.
Sorry to bring that up. We talked yesterday. He was at the Super Bowl.
I think it was Jared from Spring Hill on our text line said, do the Titans get like an assist Super Bowl banner if the Eagles win on Sunday? Just give them the assist.
This Ringer guy, Benjamin Solak, tweeted, is that the best trade ever? Now, obviously, not from the Titans' perspective, but if they win it, is that the best trade ever?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't. There's no way it's really in the discussion, but the fact that he even said that is like, wow, it is a pretty good one for them.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Preds fans, if you want to win tickets in our lower bowl section 102, just text the keyword Superbook, all one word. Once again, that's Superbook, to the game text line 615-737-1025, and you'll be entered for your chance to win. You can win with 102.5, 106.3 the game, and you can win with Superbook. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans, the offseason discussion that we've had over the past couple of segments, and take a look at the Super Bowl as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game.